Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Jamel Darby bringing it to you from the state of California. It is a beautiful Monday, and we have some discussions for you. Today will be the part two of the talk I had with John Lau on yesterday. Yesterday's talk, based around Childish Gambino's newest video, This Is America, and that segued into some talk about racism and how that differentiates when you go through different cultures in America. Today's talk will be circulating around identity, and we will touch base on that. I will have John with me again today, and without further ado, we might as well just get into it. So, this is Lukey DV's Leaves. Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Jamel Darby here back again. And I have John Lau with me. John, say what's up to the people.
What's up, people? Hopefully you're having a great Monday.
Hey. So, I had John with us yesterday, and we touched on the Childish Gambino video, This Is America. Great video. If you have not seen that music video, search it on YouTube. Check it out. It is a nice piece of art, and I'm sure you're going to get something from it that, you know, maybe your friend or, you know, somebody else, you know, got something else out of it. So it's cool because you can get different perspectives, but we touched on that, and we touched on racism, in America and how that affects, the different cultures, throughout America, specifically the African American race, and the Asian American race, and a little bit about the Hispanic, Mexican-American race. So today, we are going to touch on identity. Identity actually is something that John brought up as a topic to discuss because he's been, you know, weighing that around in his mind. And I don't know. So why don't you go ahead and start?
All right. I think one way to start it is probably actually a disclaimer for the previous episode you had.
Okay.
Where it's pretty much to say that definitely there are these, like, to sort of also close that topic too, like, there are these racial profiles and these depictions that everyone has or a general population might have of various races and various even religions and
I didn't mean to laugh.
I didn't even know.
No, you said race shit, and I thought race shit, and I don't know, my mind was just, you know what, go ahead. I shouldn't even, yeah.
No worries. But yeah, like, there are all these ways how people can be profiled, but when it does, it's, but then your identity as an individual does have a huge importance, especially towards yourself. To me, my identity, what right. It means to me, you as Jamel, what does that identity mean to you?
Oh, definitely.
Like, yes, there are, like, oh, I John Lau, am an Asian American, specifically of Chinese descent. Right. Like, yes, those are ways that, excuse me, those are ways that can go definitely two ways for every person. It could go, for some people, they'll look at it as a way to profile you. Oh, you are Chinese, therefore, thousands and thousands and thousands of stereotypes.
This, that. Mm-hmm. You do this, you mm-hmm. are this person.
Exactly. Yeah. And then there's the other half to it where it's, oh, you're a person of Chinese descent. They're, like, what? How does it make you distinct as an individual? Like, what parts of being Chinese makes you different? Do you embrace? Are some things that actually might be things that you have trouble with?
Right.
Like, these things of individuality towards your identity is what is sort of the thing that has, I wouldn't say clouding, it's been definitely something that I've been touching on
right.
for myself.
Right.
you know, I've definitely had my share lately of an identity crisis, if you want to call it that. For all of you that don't know, I have recently moved out to California. It was a trip that turned into a move, and the whole basis of the trip was, I'm a dancer, I'm a choreographer, an artist in that fashion, in the fashion of performing arts and dance, and, you know, being in Oklahoma, and hearing so much about the California dancers and all that, you know, you really want to know, like, you know, with it being a question mark, it is a little rough because it's like, well, is this really what I want to do? You know, like, you're going through that because you're seeing that things aren't moving as much around you, and everybody's saying, like, oh, well, if you go to California and stuff, then it'll, you know, like, it's that one shot thing, and it'll start to happen, and everything will trigger, and so, you know, my move out here was almost me figuring out, like, trying to figure out, is this what I want to do for the rest of my life? Do I want to pursue a dance career, or do I want to start to switch and put my mind, more focused on other things, you know? And in doing that, in figuring out what you want to do, I feel like that's a huge part of, figuring out your identity. You know, it's like, whenever you play a video game, let's say, certain video games that, you can pick your, say it's a fighting video game, and you can pick your class, what you're gonna be. You know, if you're a warrior, then you're, like, hack and slash. Yeah. If you're an archer, then you got your bow and arrow. If you're a magic person, you shoot your magic. Yeah, you know, exactly. And those are their jobs. Mm-hmm. But their job, in turn, in a way, makes them. Now, I know it's different today because things aren't that cut and dry. It's not like, you know, how it was hundreds of years ago where, like, oh, I'm a blacksmith and that's all I do, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, like, you know, now, like, yes, I'm a choreographer, but I also know how to edit videos. I also know how to create music. I also can write. I also can hold another job that has nothing to do with dance to hold me stably, you know, financially stable. There's so many more things that go into it, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, when I look at it, and I look at it as a whole, and I look at my identity, I've come to learn that it's not necessarily my job or what I choose to do, in that realm that creates me or that makes me. It's what I feed my mind. And, for me, it's the reality that I choose to believe, mm-hmm. and that I choose to put forth. Am I this type of person, you know? And I feel like this, you said something about, like, giving an example of, like, race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever I'm trying to figure out my identity, that transcends race, that transcends all that, because at the end of the day, I'm trying to figure out what I am, who I am, the things that I love, the things that I hate, things, like, I'm trying to figure out what I can contribute, what makes me happy. Like, there's so many things that go into it, but, at the core of it, I'm trying to figure out, I guess what makes me happy, you know? Because I think what makes us happy, you know, there's like emotions that you feel. Like, there's like, I'm fearful, You know, there's, it's a, like, on J. Cole's new album, there's this little sound bite on the end of a track, and it says, like, babies have two emotions when they're born. It says, one is laughter, mm-hmm. and that is, like, I love this. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is pain, and that is, I'm frightened by this. I'm scared of this. Mm-hmm. I'm fearful of this. I hate this. And so, no one wants to be a person that's driven by their hate yeah. or driven by what they're scared of. I feel like that, that's what we go through, which makes it hard for us to figure out our identities. But I feel like our identity, the actual person that we are, that we want to be, is based around the things that makes us happy. In that, it's hard to completely just say that because there's, I mean, money makes me very happy. I'm not even gonna lie. When I have it, I'm really happy. And when I don't,
same right here. I mean,
you know. Yeah, when I don't, I feel some type of way. But, you know, when I look at that, generally what makes me happy tends to, create my identity, and I feel more connected. When I'm happy, I feel more connected to the person who, I feel more at peace. I feel more one.
Yeah.
You know. Do you have anything you want to kind of touch on that? Happiness.
Unhappiness.
Happiness. Maybe a division. I feel like whenever I am, whenever I'm closer to my identity and when I feel like I am aware of who I am, I feel like there is one being. I'm in line.
Yeah.
And I feel like whenever I'm not, and I'm searching and things are going bad, I feel like I'm at odds with myself. And that's the reason I can't focus. And and really, that's the reason why things don't come together. Or maybe the surrounding is making those things separate.
No, I could definitely feel that too, relate to that. That from what I think is what you're saying about the disconnect and where happiness being when you're at peace with yourself.
Right.
I wouldn't say at peace, but when you feel, when everything seems to align, that's sort of when you know that's the happiness, that's like, you're actually happy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think for me, it was more so trying to, like, it was more so understanding, like, there's, of course, things that bring you joy, like, oh, if I saved up for a pair of headphones,
right,
like, then it brings you joy, it makes you happy, but in terms of, like,
one of the greatest. One of the greatest joys. Yeah. Headphones, I'm just saying. We're true. Both dancers, so.
Yeah, so being y'all, able to hear all the little, like, nuances and the little sound bites. It's like, oh my God, this thing is like. In a sense, it's orgasmic. It's like, oh my God. Like, I can hear. Oh my God, this. Top. Oh my God, that. Top. Boom. Or it's like, oh man, those headphones I used to have. It was just like, boom. Yeah. But now it's like, boom.
Oh, yes. Like, oh. I do feel you on that. I feel you
it's
on
like
that.
A whole, it's like you just heard a whole new song when it's like the same song you've been listening to for like the past 3 days or something.
It is, though. It is like you did.
But yeah, like when it comes to happiness and internally, like what you know, it like what you know feels right. Aligning with what it's almost like a consciousness in your subconscious, and they're in harmony.
Mm-hmm.
That's to me like when you could, it's almost like if I could do something and both my subconscious, like the very first feeling I feel is at peace with it, plus, or not just at peace with it, because that sounds more like, oh, that you're okay with whatever happens. It's right. It's bought in and it's like, yes, that's what I want. Plus the fact that after you've sort of broken it down and been all conscious through, I don't know, any sort of like, whatever, in a sense, whatever your logical process, to so to say, whatever your environment and your experiences have created as like the acceptable right.
Right.
And those two things align, then it's sort of like that to me is where like happiness has happened for me. Mm. Because it's like, oh.
No, I completely get that. I completely get that. Mm-hmm. I am so big on the subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so big because, especially dealing with music, mm-hmm. I feel like it doesn't happen. Music mm-hmm. talks to me. Like, yeah. Music has straight-up conversations. I'm feeling a certain way, mm-hmm. like, and that's not to be, like, a negative way, or I'm feeling some way, you know,
yeah.
some type of way. And, like, music comes in, and I'm listening to tracks, and I'm thinking of, say, a question.
Mm-hmm.
And then the song lyric, like, I'm listening to the song, but I'm not really listening to the song. Mm-hmm. But then right when I'm asking that question, that certain song lyric pops into my head, and it's like they turned up the volume almost, and I hear that lyric, and it says exactly, like, it's the answer
yeah.
to what yeah. I was going to say. Or maybe not the answer.
But it talks to you.
But it's, yes.
It talks to you and how it wants to provide you the answer that it believes in.
Right, exactly. And so, I mean, in that, in dreams, I'm super big in dreams, so I definitely see that. And, you know, I try to bridge that gap.
Mm-hmm.
With dreams, I try to bridge that gap. Blah, 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 can't talk. I try to bridge that gap, you know, with trying to bring that into, you know, like, how can I move lucidly in dreams? I feel mm-hmm. like that's a way to bridge the gap. And, you know, I feel like in the now state, the reality that we live in, you know, or, you know, quote unquote, the reality that we live in, you know, us gaining that oneness is a way to, you know, bridge that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I look at reality, I kind of see it as like a battle. Now, it's like we're trying to battle for our identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go through all these things, our minds like racing, and we're trying to figure out who we are and figure out what path we're going on and everything. We're trying to, you know, bring the subconscious together with the conscious, and we're trying to be that one person and find that. and I also feel like we have battles won and lost.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think of, say, I was watching martial arts movies last night. I'll probably watch them tonight too.
Mm-hmm.
But I was watching them, and there was this one where they had these people build a fort, a military fort.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is something that a lot of people don't do and maybe need to do. Like, we have these battles with mm-hmm. with our identity where we're trying to win our identity. We don't want to take an L. We're trying to find that
mm-hmm.
that cure. And then once we find it, we get comfortable and we forget that there's other people that are coming and trying to take our flag, in essence, you know,
yeah.
and then we deal with it again, and then mm-hmm. we're back in another battle. But we don't build our fort up
mm-hmm.
after creating that solitude. Yeah. Like, I've been really on this kick of create your own reality. And it seems like a very... It, depending on how you look at it, it could be an either a very far-fetched idea, or it could be an idea that, you know, seems easier. And basically, it is that I am in control of my reality. I am in control of how my body takes in concepts. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, I can control, in essence, in a way, the things that happen around me. If I'm thinking in a positive way, or I'm thinking in a way of this, then I'm only going to recognize positive things around me. Now, I don't want the, I don't want to get that, you know, I don't want to have a misconception. Obviously, it is, that does not mean like, you know, I should neglect, everything, you know, if it doesn't fall into line here, then I should ignore it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, it's not taking an easy way out. Mm-hmm. But it is saying, it is taking power over the situation that you have. Mm-hmm. And then I just to go on to what I said about build, that would be the battle. So in that, in creating that reality for myself and sticking to that reality, I am a positive person. I do have good ideas. I am creative. I do look good. I feel comfortable with my body. All these different things that people have going through their minds, you know, that, that are tearing them apart, that like people aren't even directly saying to you, but like, you're hearing it and it's slowly tearing you apart. Like, that's the battle. Now, mm-hmm. I create my reality and I create my truth. Mm-hmm. Now I have my truth. Now, how do I create my fort? And I look at that and I look at what I call the matrix. After you've created your reality, you can then do things that you couldn't do before, because your mind was so focused on those other things. So once you've created your reality, now you can look around you and start to look at the people around you. Mm-hmm. Once you, when you're focused and when you're in line, then it is very easy to see other people's emotions, see their tendencies, see the way they move, and see the way they feel. Like, you can understand people just by observing. And in observing the way people interact with other people, the way they interact with you, as long as you're reaching out and stuff, you can start to see how things move. And as you're moving out, you're also strengthening your reality, because now the people around you are feeling your good auras, mm-hmm. and they're feeling what you're saying, and they're feeling your truth. Mm-hmm. And their truth becomes their truth, and it expands. But in doing that, now you're building your matrix. Now you can see what's happening. So now when a problem is coming towards you, because you're aware, you have opened that third eye, if you want to call it that, but you are aware of what's happening around you and how your actions contribute, how other people's actions contribute, now you can act without being blindsided. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of times it's so hard to keep our identity because we are blindsided. Yeah. You know, you have it figured out, and then out of nowhere, it's like the movies where, you know, it's like, oh, happy scene, and the guy's walking, he just kissed the girl, mm-hmm. and he's like smiling, he's backing up into the street, which is a horrible thing to do. Don't ever do that. Don't ever back into a street. I don't know why they do that. But, you know, he was blinded by his truth at that mm-hmm. moment, you know, which is why you have to be aware. But he was blinded by his truth, and he backed up, and then, boom! Bus. Yeah. Death.
Gone.
No more. Gone. Zero. No hero. No. I'm just... But he was gone, and... You know, and that's, I mean, obviously it's not going to always be a bus, you know, actually more times than not, I'm sure you're not going to, I'm sure most of the listeners are not getting hit by buses. I don't think we have like killer buses going around just like, you know, marking off lists, you know. But it's to say, be aware, or what I'm saying is be aware so that whenever you see these things coming, you can see them coming. Like, you don't want to be surprised. You want, whenever you see it coming, then I can move in this way, and I can either lessen that hit, or I can completely deflect it, or I can just make it miss me. I can just step to the left, you know? Take a chance at a line. Wondering if this line can poop. No, I'm sorry. I was about to hit one of my writtens. I'm sorry. But anyway, off of that whole my reality spill, I say my because that's been something I've been working on, and you know, I want to build like a foundation of it so that I can really bring it to people. Obviously, I have to practice it more myself and get some things right in my life as I practice it, but I do feel like it works. It makes me feel better. But with that, do you have anything to say off of that?
Yeah. Try and get my points all organized.
Hey, it's all good.
So, definitely agree with the points you made about how you have to be in sort of in control of your reality, so to say.
Yeah.
And because I've gone through it where I wasn't in control of it.
Yeah.
And then the moment I realized that it was actually what I thought was in my control wasn't in my control because my reality wasn't true.
Right.
It wasn't even a fantasy. It was just simply not the truth, essentially.
Right, right.
And so, like, from that, I learned how to better myself to, in those situations, to get a grasp of what the reality of things are, to
almost like lesson.
Yeah, like, that was probably one of the biggest lessons for me. It's like one of those times where you're like, I think we were talking about this like while we were choreographing. Mm-hmm. It's like one of those moments when you're like you feel it. You have one of those moments where internally you're like this doesn't seem right. But then outside you're like, nah, it's just a one time thing and stuff of that sort. And then as 2,3,4,26,884 happens, then you finally are like, okay, yeah, that's not right.
Yeah.
It just happens that it took you 26,840 whatever number of times to get there.
Right.
And then you finally go, okay, this is the reality of it. And I think one of the things that, because there was a point where it was like, oh, like, how could I have done this to myself? Or not done this to myself, or how could I have accepted this reality? Because nothing, it wasn't like something.
This false truth.
Yeah, this false, how could I have accepted this false truth? Because there wasn't, it wasn't like, oh, it wasn't like I got scammed. It wasn't like I got, like, in, like, some terrible, like, relationship that fucked me over or something. It was, it was none of that. It was just simply like, oh, I finally know you for you.
Right.
And from that.
Sounds deep.
It was. I'm not diving into that because.
Yeah.
It's more like, in a sense, like, you've given someone enough of that,
enough of your concern.
Yeah, enough of that concern, enough of that
pain.
Yeah, enough of you where it feels like you've given way more. I wouldn't say that you've given enough when you shouldn't have given that much before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's like now, even though there were definitely like happy moments.
Right.
There were definitely times where it's like, oh yeah, those were great hangouts, great times, those are fun moments, those are stuff. I'll cherish those moments.
Right.
But with now how I understand the true reality and how essentially, like, as you said in your scenario of things,
mm-hmm.
how the facts have created what is the truth essentially.
Right.
Like, right. It's like if, like, you can't debate that if there was a brick that was like stuck up and then you tripped over it, you tripped over a brick.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just say like, oh,
I
tripped over my shoelaces that were perfectly tied and somehow, like, I fell by my own accord.
Yeah. See, but that's the crazy thing. If no one saw it,
mm-hmm.
then you could.
Yeah, that
you
is.
You could do that. You could say that, mm-hmm. and you could, if you say that enough to yourself, then you no longer mm-hmm. would think, I'm lying about this brick. You could actually start to say that, and then you would believe my shoelaces. Mm-hmm. I tripped over my shoelaces.
Yeah, it was because of my shoelaces.
It's crazy because that's how powerful, I'll say powerful, that's how mm-hmm. powerful a thought of your reality, like, that's how powerful your mm-hmm. truth is. Everybody has their own truth. Mm-hmm. How many times have you heard a situation and then you see this person, it could be like, this, so many people, and you say, what happened,
mm-hmm.
and everybody else has a different take on it.
Yeah.
You know, especially, like, say you let them go home and marinate on it and just mm-hmm. chill, and then you write it back, and it's like, well, what happened? You know, people mm-hmm. are going to say things that benefit themselves.
Yeah.
And that's, I say that's the power of it, because I don't want to put a positive or negative on it, because at that point, it can be good or bad. Like, you know, I know you, and I know y'all too, you've seen those people where it's like, this is a motherfucking liar. This, like, you didn't know. You mm-hmm. fucking liar. Like, what? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And those are situations where you're, you know, making something negative. You know, to mm-hmm. to make yourself positive. Mm-hmm. We can go to Spider-Man with this and say, with great power comes great responsibility. Mm-hmm. The only way that a technique such as creating your own reality and doing that, the only way that it's going to actually help you
mm-hmm.
and sustain a comfortable, you know, realm with you to where you're not constantly having to backtrack is if you're doing it from positive intent. Yeah. If you're doing it with negative intent, then negativity is still going to follow you.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going to find, because there's people with positivity that's going to come, and two things, those are going to hit each other, and mm-hmm. you know, so you're going to have to battle. So you have to definitely go with positive intent. But going back to what you were saying, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was a situation to where you had your own truth
mm-hmm.
and a separate entity, another person came in and altered your truth
mm-hmm.
and almost put a shade over yourself. So, I mean, not saying, or something like that, not saying that you have to get in depth with that, but... Mm-hmm. Whenever you like, what was your process of, if you want to go into that, you can always, you know, deflect, yeah. But, what was your process of getting yourself back on track, mm-hmm. once you figured out, like, that you were off track?
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely, I myself try to always be as real and as upfront, and always steer to the truth. As in, even if it's something uncomfortable for myself,
right?
Then I will still speak it. Like, it might be uncomfortable, it might be something that, like, it might be something I'm ashamed of, or something. Granted, lucky enough for me, I haven't experienced something that has swayed me that far from okay to heavily ashamed.
Yeah.
But, the process, right? The process of going or finding back into the truth.
Getting that oneness again.
Mm-hmm.
Finding peace, I guess.
So, I mean, in a sense, it started... Sorry about that. It started with...
You're good.
It started with essentially like being able to experience something that I never had, like, growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Which was actually because growing up, like, I always had a smaller, closer niche of friends.
Right.
So that was something that I was, it definitely helped me in terms of, understanding people and having a grasp of it.
Right, right.
And, like, seeing people for who they are, because then, as, like, even then you still go through people, and then you sort of see how people change and they adapt, and then, well, if you're not
connecting on that level.
If you're not sort of in that synced connection, then it's not like, oh, I hate you or something like that. It's just, oh, our paths aren't that way. So you go your own way. I'm going to stay in my lane. You're going to be in your lane, and it is what it is.
Yeah.
So, like, so then the moment that I was able to taste the other half of what that is, of, so going from small to a wider pool,
mm-hmm.
then it was a whole new thing, a whole different kind of reality. And so it was almost like what I had before slowly started to be forgotten, and those lessons and those things that made me who I was because of exposure to only a smaller, closer niche of friends,
mm-hmm.
and a closer group of people. Then those lessons slowly disintegrate. Granted, like, one of the phrases that's like, oh, when you're, like, the younger you are, the more naive you are. Yeah. That definitely played a role too.
Mm-hmm. Just growth as...
Yeah.
Just life growth, period.
Yeah. Being able to be... not just be... have plenty of experiences, but definitely willing to stimulate your thought in those experiences and understand them. And in this scenario, it was what dropped me was how I definitely, in that larger group, I definitely, because of subconsciously and essentially my subconscious would become closer with, of course, a smaller group of people. Mm. It might be half, even though half was still a relatively big number.
Yeah.
Like, it was still smaller. It was not everyone. And so, as someone, an outside entity's truth and mm-hmm. reality was affecting my own,
mm-hmm.
and consciously and eventually subconsciously, is started to believe that truth, then that's, in a harsher way, it made that mindset of mine toxic. Okay. Not to a degree where it actually seemed to erode and destroy relationships that I had with various friends, but to me, after realizing it, it did feel like the fact that I had that a thought, or a fact that I had a belief, or a fact that I chose this reality, this false truth, mm-hmm. as the truth, and then from that false truth, it became, okay, because of this false truth, then these things obviously then essentially your logical paths follow a specific route as well.
Right.
And that's how I thought, until it came to the simple fact that there are people in this smaller niche that I've known longer, I've been roommates with, or I've, you know, had, like, I've had longer and deeper experiences with.
Right.
And then from spending time with them, then it's like, well, none of this is starting to add up. And that's where that false truth slowly began to crumble. And then that's where I would go back, reevaluate everything, and then I guess I would be like, oh, okay, well, looking at it from this perspective that I have now, from going back, turning the clock back all the way to the start.
Yeah.
Then seeing it from that, this is more, with those facts, seeing it from this perspective now, there's no way that you can deny that this isn't the truth.
Okay. No, like, that's not the thing that caused you to go down that path, or could you kind of
elaborate?
Yeah, just a little bit.
On.
Just saying. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Basically, you had this false truth brought mm-hmm. on to you, and once you were around your other friends, your new friends, or this newfound group, mm-hmm. It started to illuminate the ways that they were moving, which were more positive, mm-hmm. more geared towards where you were truly as a person. Mm-hmm. And so as you were going through that, you saw that, oh, wow, you could see those negative things that were aspects that the way that you were moving, but you could see that it wasn't truly you. Mm-hmm. You could see that it rooted from this person or mm-hmm. this thing.
This false truth.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, that's actually very, I'm glad you said that. You know, a lot of times I feel like people think, when you're dealing with things that have to do with you mm-hmm. and I and me, this, yeah. like, those are very singular. Mm-hmm. And we also, it's hard to, if I have a broken leg, I can say my leg is broke. Yeah. And it's very easy. If I have a problem mentally mm-hmm. with something I'm working through, it's a lot harder to say I have this thing. Yeah. Because it's stigmatized as a weakness by a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And when I go through these things, I actually duck back. Mm-hmm. I actually go, let me figure this out. let me figure out what this is, so that I can move forward. Now, other people, or say your situation just now, you saw that, and instead of saying, okay, let me figure this out, you went and figured it out yourself. Yeah. Or not yourself. I'm sorry. It's that things are happening around us. I'm getting messed up. I did it myself. You said, I'm going to, I guess you didn't even say that you were going to do that, but your friends help you. Outside views help construct the view that you were trying to create. And it helped construct the truth, in the end, that you were trying to pump and produce. You know, and that's crazy. A lot of people don't, you know, it's hard to reach out. Yeah. I find that, I mean, like, I'll vent. I got friends, and, you know, they know that J.R. Black's the vent. And he will talk and go in about the shit that's going on in his life.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's cool. You know, that's completely fine. But then when I'm, you know, I will basically tell them what happened. But then when I'm, like, fixing things, I will do it all myself. And I will, you know, do it all from my mind and this. But that was a situation where, you know, I'm not saying that you had to reach out because you didn't. It kind of just happened by itself that you got a certain mindset from the people that were around you that helped you.
Or it was actually more so, the one thing that I definitely took for granted is the fact that, before I finally broke that false truth was that I would choose to pursue the truth. You know, like, you can't accept everything at face value. You have to see what it is. You have to gather the facts to then come up with a decision.
Research people.
Exactly. And so indirectly, like these people that I would reach out to would provide me those facts, those arguments, those sides, so that I would have both pictures.
Right.
And then seeing how that false truth was essentially only, it was only essentially shells, because there's no substance, there's no egg, there's no yolk inside.
Right.
And so, from that, they like sort that. Of, what was that?
I like that.
Ah.
Yeah, I like that, the analogy. The analogy, yeah.
But yeah, essentially, like, that shell just crumbled, and there was no substance inside. And so, the only, like, I'll openly admit it now, and I probably openly admit it to all those that, they'll probably tell me, like, oh, John, like, that, like, it never actually, like, hurt me, because nothing actually happened. But right. To me, like, they did happen only inside my head. But the fact that I accepted that false reality is enough for me to be like, I feel like, to be like, I hurt you in some way. And so I think that, like, what played a part in it is sort of, sort of also, like, bringing back in, like, the very first topic we talked about, which is identity.
Right.
That when it comes to your own identity, it you're definitely, like, what you brought up, the concept of me, I, myself,
Right.
Is a huge part. Like, understanding yourself is a huge part of knowing yourself. The thing is, there's also your environment that plays a huge role.
Definitely.
Both a direct, your direct environments, like how the people around you speak, how they act, how they perceive things, how they approach things, their mindset, it gives to you a part of you that you might not know about.
Right.
And that extends to a bigger scale in terms of the environment, but it also plays a smaller and maybe a microscopic effect onto a person. Like, oh, where I live could affect me, because it gives me some sort of different perspective just because of where I live. Yeah. Just because of
completely
what my financial, my family, my whatever situation might be happening, those things, or even like, it could even be like, oh, I'm fine, but what about like something's happening to my neighbor or my friend's parents or mm-hmm. something of that. Those things definitely play a factor into the person. And to me, like, the identity, the simple fact that that in my identity, I allowed my environment, created by a soul source, who probably affected to sort of also, to actually sort of make the topic more cohesive, that how this single entity infected or corroded or polluted probably a lot more other people's perspectives, also makes me, you know, at the same time that I'm grateful that I'm now not a part of that.
Right.
Like, I also wish that, or hope that they don't get polluted or infected, or they have that sort of outcome.
Right.
And so when it came to that environment and how that one entity was able to do so much to me, how I perceived it, damage, then it was like, well, the damage wasn't done like to me directly, like I wasn't like in a mental shamble or something of that sort. It was simply the fact that I was damaged because I felt that I broke friendships that actually weren't broken, that people probably don't think, that probably might think that it's pretty strong still.
Yeah.
And granted, I have brought what this entity has discussed with me to them.
Yeah.
And they serve, and then I wouldn't say benefit, but to my luck almost, that they sort of don't, they're very nonchalant about it. Yeah,
doesn't really affect them, or at least they say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you said something about the environment, you know, when I was younger, like high school, so let's say about, I don't know, 10 years ago or something like that, and maybe a couple of years before that, I would always say, it was like my mantra, and it was like, your environment creates who you are. And that was like that was my truth at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as I grew older, it changed a bit. It changed in the fact that I wasn't as strong on it, but it was still a truth, and it still is a truth. Your environment is, in a lot of ways, it will shape who you are. Imagine if you're not, like, now, I think it meant more to me then because the internet age, as it, I mean, it was there, but it wasn't like it is now.
Yeah.
Social media wasn't at the level that it is now. So, you know, yeah, people are searching the internet and everything, but it's not like forced to them. You have to like go out and seek it.
Yeah.
So, if you're not going out and seeking that information, the only way that you're getting that information is by your environment, your surroundings, your friends, your, if you're going to school, your classmates, the other people, the teachers, if you're at home, your parents, if you're out playing, the neighbors, like you said, the people around you, the people you're seeing at the supermarket, like, that's where you're learning your lessons.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's easy to get swept up in that and in the lessons that you can learn when a lesson may have worked for somebody else, mm-hmm. or there may have been things that worked for another person, but, and it makes it look good. It makes it like, wow, that's what I should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's something that you're not doing. And, you know, maybe throw into account a situation, say it's something that, you know, say it's something that you somewhat envy of that person, you mm-hmm. know? And then you look at the other things they do and you might say like, oh, well, like, maybe I should do it that way. So there's ways to get brought into that. So I can completely see, you know, how a person can get brought into a situation like that. Obviously, time is one of the greatest teachers.
Yes.
And so, you know, over time, things, you know, darkness seems to illuminate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you gain more wisdom. So, you know, there's definitely, time will shine, you know, the light on the negativity, you know, or, you know, things that may not be completely positive, you know, mm-hmm. in your life, in people's lives, you know, but, I do think it is very important now, in the age that we are now, of this internet age, this social media age, as a people, we need to, like, it's almost double check.
Yeah.
The information that we're getting, because there's so much false information. There's so many mm-hmm. trolls. Now, yeah. you know, you had your situation, you had somebody who didn't have malicious intent, and you kind of fell into that situation, and that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, think of the people who are, like, actually spreading lies now.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's crazy. Some of the younger kids that are growing up now, and I'm saying this like I have it all together now because I don't, you know. Mm-hmm. But, like, think of these younger kids that are, like, coming up and they're looking and they see all these lies or they see all the things that they're being taught.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to, you know, we're just hoping that they make the right decisions, that they know that they shouldn't do those certain things. You know, we're mm-hmm. hoping that they have people in their lives that are telling them the right things and that, yeah. you know, their parents are instilling the right values. But, you know, you can't even really just put it on the parents because, like, man, my parents, I mean, yeah, my parents put the construct down and made me a great person, like, as mm-hmm. far as, like, my values, but, like, my friends shaped me, you know, yeah. like, my friends and my relationship with them shaped, the man that I've truly became,
mm-hmm.
you know, the role that I played in that and everything, that's what had one of the biggest impacts in my life, you know, so, I think it's really important for people to always look at the information that's coming to you. But above all, it's kind of like food. Mm-hmm. They say what you eat is what you are.
Yeah.
And that's a very true statement. Whatever you eat is what your body is going to take in, and it's going to make, you know, it's going to, mm-hmm. you know, digest and go through all that, and it's going to do all that. But, yeah, we really have to, I'm going to wrap this up right here. It's really important that you do that with the things that you take in to make yourself one, to really create that identity that you really want. We're going to have to actually cut it off here. So I will see y'all next time. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about on this next episode, but it will go down. Until next time, this is Lukey DV's Leaves, and we out. Yo, thank y'all for tuning in and listening. I wanted to thank John Lau for being here with us today.
Yeah, definitely big thanks to Jamil for having me here and for everyone that's listening. And definitely hope you guys have a great Monday and rest of your great rest of your week, your rest of your month, rest of your year, man.
Yeah.
Not man, man, but yeah.
Mine's not hot. Mom, no. But thank you so much. And more content coming soon. Be on the lookout. But we out of here. Lukey DV's Leaves. Yeah.